Welcome to Conversations in Welcome to Conversations in Care, the flagship radio program of the Care Radio Network. The radio program dedicated to covering senior health topics, chronic conditions, and self-care. Using the simple act of conversation, we can create awareness, establish a course of action, and design a community of support. Conversations in Care was created from the many conversations throughout her 18-year involvement as a dementia practitioner, care advocate, and your host, Tammy Newman.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Tony Fisher. I am the associate producer of Conversations in Care. I'm covering for Tammy Newman tonight, so I hope you'll bear with me. We do have a great guest to help me along, though, tonight. Jane Wilkins-Michael, the author of Long Live You, is going to talk about her nine steps to helping someone live a healthier life and actually change their lifestyle for a healthier, better lifestyle. But before we get started with our guest, and I'd like to first thank our sponsors, Seniors Blue Book, Peace Hospice, Culinary Care, TheBeats.org, also Hurricane Marketing, and Private Duty Network are also sponsors that help us bring this program to you on a weekly basis. Tammy works really hard to make sure that the program goes off without a hitch, so I'm trying to cover for her tonight. She's away on personal business. And I will, at this point, bring in Jane. Jane is the author of Long Live You. It's a book. I think it can be best described as a self-improvement book, and she has some has a system that can help you live a better life and a healthier life. And also, she's going to talk about how this system can help not just regular people, but also folks caring for someone at home. Jane, welcome to Conversations in Care.
Oh, my pleasure, Tony. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm a big fan of the show.
Oh, well, Tammy, you'll be great. Happy to hear that, and I'm happy to hear that as well. First of all, Jane, Tammy always likes to start with our guests to find out about how their journey led them to the point they're at in their advocacy and in helping people. Tell us about your journey and how you arrived at becoming a radio show host and a health and fitness expert.
Well, you mentioned caregiving. I started at when I was at Town & Country magazine. I worked in as the health, beauty, and fitness columnist. And during my time there, we worked a lot with cancer survivors through a program called Look Good, Feel Better. And that was the beauty industry's, that was our philanthropic, really, campaign. And that is, we had hair products and makeup, and we worked with all the big cosmetic companies to help women who had undergone chemotherapy have wigs and makeup, you know, and we saw, and I saw personally how much more self-confidence they had when they put the wig on and put the makeup on. So I thought, well, you know, all of us really face obstacles really every day. We always are confronted with issues and obstacles and conflicts each and every day. And we all want to be happier, healthier, more vibrant, you know, more engaged, and look and feel better than before. So it started with the cancer survivors, and then I branched it out with everyone feeling better than before, not just if you've survived an illness, but, you know, for anything that we, you know, any of life's, as I said, any of life's obstacles.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, certainly many of the things that, as a caregiver myself or a father who is a two-time survivor of brain cancer, actually, he's many of the things that I learned, you know, caring for him and helping him and my mother along through that process, you know, really applied to my everyday life as I went on, too, so I can definitely relate to that.
You know, it is difficult, yeah.
I also see that this isn't your first book, Jane. You also wrote Breakfast, Lunch, and Dinner of Champions. Can you tell us, is this book a sequel to that, or is it along the same lines and the same theme, or is it something completely different?
Well, it's different. It's a sports nutrition book, Breakfast, Lunch, and Dinner of Champions, and in it I interviewed professional athletes from 10 different sports, professional sports, baseball and hockey, and in fact tonight is the Ranger game in New York City where I'm calling from, so we're very excited about that. You know, we want them to win, go Rangers.
I'm a Wings fan myself, so I'll take umbrage with you on that.
It's good nutrition, and I found out that, you know, for athletes to be at their peak performance, that they have to eat right. And the whole theory of a half a cow and a keg of beer for the athletes years ago when they started, you know, it became, that's not what they ate. They really took very good care of themselves. So I applied that. Like I did with cancer survivors for my book, Long Live You, I applied that to everyday people. I mean, we're not going to run marathons, and we're not going to compete in the Olympics. Well, you know, most of us aren't. Some people will, but I'm not. You can't even get me to go in a swimming pool, basically. So I think we can all benefit from what we learned, or what I learned from the athletes. And also, I was a caregiver for my mother for 10 years, and she had Alzheimer's. So I know firsthand what it's like to be a caregiver. And it's very, very difficult. And what I stress is that we have to take care of our own health, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's very, very important. So this is an outgrowth of so many things, this book. Yes, the Breakfast, Lunch, and Dinner of Champions, and also my experience as a caregiver, and also working with cancer survivors when I first got the idea to do this book.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I've noticed being a caregiver for my father, and, you know, I'll admit this to the listening audience, is that, you know, I let my health go quite a bit. I really stopped paying attention to what I was eating, and, you know, just ate whatever was available when I could eat it. Stopped paying attention to any kind of exercise program that would benefit my health, and was really just completely focused on my father and my mother and the rest of the family, being the oldest child. And, you know, I realized that wasn't the healthiest thing for me to do, even as a caregiver, you know, putting all that sort of pressure on yourself from a health perspective, can end up hurting the family in the long run, too, if you end up dropping out because you're sick yourself.
Oh, very much so. And, you know, a recent survey shows that 80% of cancer caregivers experience regular distress, and you know, they sometimes don't even realize it. And the emotional side effects, you know, it can be burnout, frustration, anger, emptiness, insecurity, resentfulness, depression, you know, and you can have physical symptoms, headaches, insomnia, backaches, fatigue, lingering colds. I mean, I go through some of these stomach upsets, even cardiovascular problems, you know, and that you really have to take care of yourself throughout. It's very, very difficult, but you do. You have to do it for yourself and for your loved one that you're taking care of. It's very important. And then you have to get them to take care of themselves, too, which is also important.
Yeah, which is always the challenge. And, you know, as a caregiver, as you know, you're constantly putting all your effort into, you know, making sure that the, like for my dad, it was having him adjust to the new normal. You know, having him realize that, you know, he was always really active outside before, and, you know, having him realize that, you know, certain times in his cancer treatment, he didn't have the strength and ability and balance and everything else that he needed to be able to do the things that he did before. And to keep him active but keep him safe was also a fine line. But, you know, that takes a lot of energy, convincing someone you're caring for to do the right thing for themselves as well. And then you're at the same time, you're not being a very good example by letting yourself go from a health perspective either.
Yes, you just said it. You have to be a good example. That's very true.
Yeah. So tell me about the rungs. I noticed in the information here that you sent about the book, you have lifestyle rungs that can help guide people along on their journey to better health and rejuvenated mind and body. Can you give a brief overview of the rungs concept and how that can help guide somebody?
Well, the rungs, just to backtrack a little bit, as I mentioned before, you know, we're all of us are, you know, no matter what we deal with in life, we're constantly stressed out, and we're trying to be the best parent, the best spouse, be the best at our job, the best caregiver if we're taking care of someone. And then, as we said, we have to take care of ourselves as well, and that takes its toll on our health and energy. And I can't tell you how many times, Tony, I've heard people say to me, I am sick and tired of feeling sick and tired. So, you know, where do you begin, right? And we don't need to get more stuff coming at us from all different directions. You know, we are so inundated with information from all sides that sometimes we shut down and we just can't process one thing more. So my goal for writing this book was to make it really, really easy. And, you know, many of us are always looking for, especially in New York, you know, the quick fix, the magic bullet, you know. And they might work for a while. You know, we can join a health club, go once, and it becomes the world's most expensive swim. But we want to see lasting results. So the key that I developed is moving in very small increments from where you are to where you want to be, figuring that life is hard enough. And again, we're so overwhelmed, the last thing we need is to add more stress. However, that being said, I also found out that it takes more than just eating kale and thinking happy thoughts to look and feel better than before. And if that did it, then my husband would starve to death because he hates kale. He thinks happy thoughts, but he won't eat kale. So that won't work for him. So taking that into consideration, I thought, gee, you know, let's make this for everyone. You know, let everyone enjoy their what they eat. And you know, because you know as well as I, I'm sure that, you know, if you restrict yourself, the first thing you do is, you know, eat everything in the house and you gain back everything you lost and then some. So, you try to incorporate, which I suggest, the food that you like into your diet. But going back, I'm sort of getting ahead of myself here. I wanted to make what I call the, you know, better than before program very, very easy. So what I've done is I have put each of the lifestyle disciplines that I do believe we need, this multifaceted approach, and they are doctor's orders, because I think we listen to our doctors, or we should, and again, we'll go a little bit deeper into that in a minute. Emotional well-being. You have to, you know, you have to be a little more positive. Good nutrition, fitness, beauty, natural remedies. You know, many doctors today are into alternative or complementary medicine as well, or they should be. Spirituality, support, and giving back. And those are the nine basics that I find that you really need to look and feel better than you did before. Then I took it from there. I made it into a visualization technique, and that's a ladder that I call the ladder to a better quality of life. Then don't worry, you're not going to fall off this ladder. this is just a visualization technique. But the idea is to grab on to each rung each day and slowly take with it a suggestion that I have in each of the rungs. And I have many, many experts, and I've also weighed in on this because all these years of doing interviews, hopefully I've learned something too. And you slowly visualize yourself climbing out of your lifestyle rut and onto a life that is better than before, you know, taking a suggestion, a lifestyle discipline from each rung each day. So that's sort of the theory that I've had, and making it easy. It's very, very easy. You know, it's not difficult. I'm trying to make life easier, not more complicated. And a lot of, you know, a lot of self-help books sometimes are very complicated. And I read them and I go, well, what do I do? I get more stressed because, you know, I can't meditate. I have trouble meditating. Every time I meditate, I'm thinking, did I forget something? I'm sure I left something boiling on the stove or I left something in the oven.
Right.
And that kind of ruins my meditation. So, you know, if you can't meditate, don't meditate, you know. Do something else. Or if you want to eat a donut, you can have a donut. Just don't eat the box of donuts, you know. So, you know, I'm trying to make it easy with some little lifestyle suggestions that really work and are simple. Anybody can do it, and everybody should.
Yeah, and I want to continue talking about that. We're going to pause for a commercial break real quick, and then we'll be right back with Jane Wilkins Michael, author of Long Live You.
All seniors and caregivers have one thing in common. They all want to age well and enjoy a good quality of life. Fortunately, there are thousands of services available in the Chicagoland area to help you and your loved one maintain a high quality of life. The Seniors Blue Book is a free resource guide available at all Good Neighbor Pharmacy locations. The sole purpose of the Seniors Blue Book is to help guide and educate its readers about the myriad of services and organizations that are here to help seniors age well. The Seniors Blue Book lists over 50 categories of senior resources, senior housing, home health comparison grids, and editorials written by local professionals about issues like guardianship, reverse mortgage, and Cook, Will, and DuPage County aging services. Visit www.seniorsbluebook.com today.
When you or your loved one are diagnosed with a terminal illness, you enter a time in your life that's more challenging than any you've faced. This season of life can be very confusing, frightening, and lonely. You find yourself dealing with strong emotions and may struggle between hope and fear, doubt and faith. At Peace Hospice and Palliative Care, we understand. We're passionate about our calling and help each individual live as fully as possible. Our aim is to be a caring and professional team that provides end-of-life care while preserving your dignity and enhancing the quality of your life. For more information on how Peace Hospice and Palliative Care can help, please call us at 630-649-7630 or visit us at peacehospice.net and start putting your mind at peace.
Welcome back, and in case you're just joining us, we are on the having a conversation here with Jane Wilkins Michael, who is the author of Long Live You. I'm Tony Fisher. I'm guest hosting for Tammy tonight. And actually, Jane, I think we have a caller here that might want to ask a question. So are you ready?
Sure.
All right, here we go. Hello, caller. You're on the air in Conversations in Care.
Hello. Yes. I'm a longtime fan of Jane, and Jane, it's really great to I congratulate you on the publishing of your book. And what I'd like to know is, what was your favorite chapter to write?
And what is your name?
My name is David.
Hi, David. How are you? So nice to meet you.
I'm from
meet Tony. Where do you live?
Hi, Tony. I live in New York City, and you might remember, I don't want to give too much time with this, but I'm the fitness trainer, and I had the fear of flying. I don't know if that rings a bell.
Oh, I do. You've called
you
into my show. I do. Well, nice to meet you again, David. Well,
Thank you.
Know, I was talking about this with Tony a little bit, and my favorite is basically the beauty chapter, because I sort of have, you know, beauty in my genes, having started with Town and Country and then working with survivors for so many years in the Look Good, Feel Better program, and also how they helped me and inspired me to branch out and to write this book. So it's definitely one of my favorite. I mean, all rungs are my favorite, but this one in particular. And my mother, who I mentioned in the beginning, was she did have Alzheimer's, and she was the most wonderful, beautiful woman. She was a multifaceted. She had a multifaceted career. She was a designer, a beauty expert, a founder of the Fashion Institute technology right here in New York City. And so I guess I say I've had it in my genes. But, you know, basically I hope in this book to dispel the notion that beauty is only skin deep. And at its most essential, as I say in the chapter, beauty comes from an aura we project from inside. And a happy person has a glow to their skin that is undeniable. And I also say a lack of enthusiasm for life wrinkles your soul. So, you know, it's good. You know, when you look good, you do feel better. So that it was one of my favorite chapters to write.
By the way, I have read the book.
And, thank you.
Great. There are a lot of very helpful things in there. You know, one thing, this is covered in the book, but, you know, one thing that seems really pervasive today with most people, especially people who are working, stress. There's so much thrown at us, especially data, you know, emails and this and that. How best to work with that, deal with it?
Well, that's true, and Tony and I were discussing that in the beginning, right, Tony? How stressed we all are. But basically, here's how I feel about stress. You know, we all have bad days. You know, you're allowed. But what you don't want to do is dwell on your past failures and let them consume you. I think that a lot of us, myself included, you know, I have to work at it. It's like getting over stress. It's like an instrument. You have to practice it every day. You know, happiness just doesn't come naturally to some people. It doesn't come naturally to me. So I do have to practice it every day. But, you know, we have to learn to sort of put the failures, the past, what happened in the past behind us. They're over. You learn from them, then you move on. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, is what I say. And you probably know, David, and I'm sure Tony, you know too, that what you worry about the most in life never really happens anyway, right? There's so many times my daughter, she's in her 20s, she'll come in and says, Mom, you know, and she's crying, she's hysterical, and says, oh, this one doesn't like this. And I say, just calm down. You know, tomorrow, are you really going to let this bother you, or the day after? And it's a month from now. You're going to really, in a month from now, still think about this? No. You know, it'll be over soon. So don't even think about it. You're getting upset for nothing, and it's wasted energy. So, you know, that's what I advise. And also, I think that you have to practice gratitude. You know, you have to be grateful for what you have, because if you concentrate on what you don't have, you will never have enough. And you have to learn to recognize and appreciate even your smallest accomplishment each day. You know, you don't have to have found a cure for cancer. I mean, you know, hopefully one day there will be, but, you know, it's in the future. But it just, if you walked a little further, or, you know, you didn't go ballistic on your coworker in the next cubicle, or you had a little victory at work, you know, or the person that you are caring for felt a little better that day, and you had a victory in taking care of them as a caregiver. So stop and appreciate it. Otherwise, nothing you ever accomplish will ever mean anything, and you'll never be satisfied with yourself. And I think that when you begin to appreciate the little things, you'll slowly start to look at life in a more positive light. And that has a remarkable impact on your health and well-being.
Thanks, David, for calling in. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, David.
Thanks so much. Okay,
Jane, I really want to kind of continue on that concept of practicing happiness, and I think that's a really great way to put that, because, you know, quite oftentimes, you know, caregivers get caught up in the day-to-day monotony of the fight or the day-to-day monotony of providing care to somebody with a chronic illness at home, and they forget to find the joy in those little things that you find when you're caregiving for somebody. And I think that practicing happiness concept is really important for caregivers to work into their everyday life. Do you have some specific exercises that someone can utilize to make that part of their everyday life?
Well, I think if we're stressed, I think that a couple of things that I recommend, and I think the thing about this the long live you program is that it all the rungs work synergistically. And it is it is multifaceted. So again, you know, just by doing one part doesn't it's not holistic. You know, you have to think of it all. You have to think of it as a whole. And
right,
so,
right.
You know, to be really happy or to feel better, you know, if you don't feel well, you're not going to be happy no matter what. So what these nine rungs do is they all work to make you feel better. And ultimately, you will be happier because of it. So I also recommend exercising. When you get depressed, the best thing to do is to go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think, you know, everyone thinks, okay, you have to go to the gym or you have to, you know, my goodness, if I never see an elliptical machine again for the rest of my life, that's way too soon.
Right.
And, you know, in New York City, a lot of their mantras are train insane or remain the same, you know, so that's not exactly, or they go to the gym and they can't leave until they're gasping for air, you know.
Right.
So I always say, you know, find something you like and get moving no matter what. And sometimes if we're caring for someone and, you know, we're all the time with that person and we don't get a break, that's not good psychically for us. So we have to take a break. And a good break is to go out and walk. 30 minutes. You just need like 30 minutes. And there are tremendous benefits to reap for cardiovascular, metabolic, and even cognitive health. And, you know, a yoga class might not seem like hard work, but it can help you to de-stress, to tone, to lengthen, and improve your core strength. So, you know, you should also try new things. But again, start slowly, and you'll see that exercise enhances your feel-good neurotransmitters like serotonin and dopamine,
mm-hmm.
so you will feel less depressed. And if you can get the survivor or the patient who you're taking care of to come with you, make it a family mm-hmm. affair.
Yeah, that's a great,
you know,
idea.
And they don't even have to actually walk. I just had the trainer, Dr. Oz's trainer, and he was telling me about the chair workout. And that is, you don't even have to get out of your chair. You can just, you know, raise your arms above your head or just get the blood flowing a little bit, and you will feel a lot better. It's very important to move, and that's something that I definitely recommend to make you feel better. And the other thing And the other thing is, you know, as we talked about nutrition, you know, your health is what you put in your mouth. And, you know, I can't drink coffee because I love coffee, and, you know, Starbucks is on every single corner in New York City. But as soon as I drink it, I feel like it's instant anxiety attack. You know, I might as well not drink it. I might as well just, you know, shoot it in my veins for what I feel.
Right.
You know, it's like, whoa. And alcohol feels good, you know, when you're drinking, but the next day you feel awful. So,
right.
You know, the depression sets in. So if you can't tolerate certain things, you have to kind of, you can't do them. I mean, I know my limits, and I know what I can do, and I know what I can't do. So, you know, we all kind of know what we shouldn't do. You know, doing it is another thing. And too much sugar also. You know, we eat an awful lot of sugar in our diets today, which is, you know, that also makes you a little bit nervous and on edge. So, you know, we have to be calm. That's what we're aiming for here. And again, you don't need to eat anything that's bizarre, you know, the sprouted mm-hmm. mung beans. Everyone thinks, oh my goodness, you know, the good diet has to include something that I hate. Well, it doesn't, you know. And if organic is too expensive, just buy one thing organic. It's good to buy dairy products, for example, organic, you know. So you don't have to buy the whole Whole Foods store out. You can just buy one or two things, you know. And also, and this is important, you have to read labels when you shop.
Yes, yes.
And you have to make that a habit. And you can't buy anything, you know, with excess salt or sugar, no trans fats, please. And no chemicals. You know, if you can't pronounce it, don't buy it.
Yeah,
except for quinoa.
And Jane, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, you don't have to go to a Whole Foods store to eat healthy. If just by reading the back and reading the ingredients and what is in every single thing that you buy. You know, you can eat healthy and avoid a lot of those chemicals just by doing some self-education on that.
Oh, very much so.
And just to the listeners here, in case you're just joining us, Jane Wilkins Michael is joining us on Conversations in Care. She is the author of Long Live You, and we're talking with her about her nine different rungs on the ladder system that you can utilize to help make your life more productive. And Jane, you just got done talking about kind of holistically here. It's great that the book outlines baby steps here. Because a lot of folks read a book like this and they get overwhelmed and like, okay, well, my life is already so structured with this caregiving that I'm doing. Everyone's always telling me what to do. I don't feel like I have control over my life, so I'm going to read this Jane lady's book and she's going to tell me what to do. But I think your book is unique in the way that it really kind of highlights some baby steps and makes it a little easier for people to incorporate it into their lives.
Yeah, I'm going to suggest what to do. If I tell them what to do, it'll be like my husband. That's the worst. As soon as I tell him what to do, I think it's considered nagging, and that's the first thing he won't do. So I have to sort of suggest it and see, you know, and it works much better that way, or have someone else suggest it even better. Big tip. Usually, you know, the spouse doesn't always get listened to. You know, have someone else say it, and then, you know. And the other thing is, I found, and my husband has three coronary artery stents, and I'm convinced it was his premarital diet, quite frankly, between us. I'm not supposed to talk bad about him on the air, you know. Somebody could say, I'm not gonna listen to your show if you tell listeners that, you know, I don't like kale or anything bitter. But he doesn't. He doesn't like kale or anything bitter, okay? And he doesn't like...
Well, I don't either, so he's got a teammate on there.
There you go. But, you know, it's just a question of kind of substituting. You know, he likes salad, so he likes spinach. So, you know, so you have spinach, and you try to make it healthier, as healthy as you can. So, you know, so I slowly, you know, suggest, as I say, if he's going to order pizza, you know, have vegetables on the pizza along with the pepperoni.
Mm-hmm.
you know, don't have the pepperoni, but I can't go that far. You know, have it.
Right,
but
the
coronary stents, you know, it's so he's gotten much better about it because, you know, he went back to the emergency room one day and they said, "Oh, Mr. Michael, what are you doing here again?" You know, and he said, I said, "Well, you know, I think it's the cheese that he's been eating lately." He didn't like that. But I tell them that genetics loads the gun, but lifestyle pulls the trigger.
Yeah.
So you can be prone to something, but it doesn't have to happen. And B, if it does happen, you're much healthier to deal with it. So,
absolutely.
You know, that's and also another thing that I do recommend is that you go through your refrigerator and your cabinets and do what I call a junk hunt. You know, you can't eat what you can't see. So if you're going to be really tempted by something and you know it's really not good for you, get rid of it slowly. You know, again, slowly, not all at once, because then you're just going to run to the store and buy and replenish. But,
right,
you know, that's
right.
the Oreos, the cheese doodles, you know, the donuts, I'm sorry, and the Chunky Monkey ice cream, you know, just get rid of it and have a couple of things maybe in the house, you know, little treats. You know, I always believe you should have a treat. Even one day you can allow yourself to sort of go off and have treats, you know, because you can't torture yourself. I'm not the kind of person who can eat like half of anything. If I eat it, I eat it, you know. Some people say, "Oh, take one bite." No, that's not me. I either eat it or
right.
I don't
right.
eat it. I don't eat just a little bit. Have you ever noticed anyone who takes like a muffin and cuts it into like eighths, you know? Because if you look at, again, if you read labels and you'll see a muffin, it looks like a big, you know, huge.
Right, right.
God knows, man, it's huge, it's a big thing. And then you say it's only like 100 calories, and you go, "Oh, wow, that's not so much." And then you look closer, you read the label, and it says 100 calories for like a half a bite.
Right.
So
yeah,
and half a bite, you know, most people eat it and they go, "Oh, I only ate 100 calories." But, you know, you don't. You eat the whole thing. So, you know, just have small things in the house. You can have them, but just don't go overboard. you know, and allow yourself
a treat from time to time. Yeah, the only time I cut a muffin into pieces is to more efficiently eat the muffin, the entire muffin.
Oh, precisely.
Not to save it for later. So
of course, not to save it for later. And I'm actually gluten free because I have an allergy to wheat. My husband is pro pizza, so we always have some little arguments about that. He would eat gluten if they just said, "Can I have extra gluten?" I mean, sometimes I go to a restaurant and say, "I think I'll order extra gluten on this," just to get back at me for saying, "Really, you're eating cheese on this pizza?" So. But, you know, it's those little steps that you take to get where, you want to be. It's simple. We can't put too much on ourselves,
Yeah.
You just want to make every day just a little better.
Yeah, and I think the concept of that little steps in relation to changing your diet is a really important one because, Americans are, we eat the worst out of, as you know, the worst out of any country in the entire world. There's so much sugar and fat in all of our diets. And it's a situation to where we're kind of all or nothing. You know, it's like, if I'm going to order that, I'm going to eat it all. And then if, I'm not going to, have any moderation related to it. And with caregivers especially, too, when you talk about either caffeine or alcohol or even sugar, a lot of times folks use that as a comfort, drink those things, eat those things as a comfort, and they tend to binge on those things because, I have a chance to sit down and relax, so I'm going to have this entire pint of Ben & Jerry's right now. And, have a chance to have some ice cream because, I deserve it because I've been taking care of my mom or my dad or my grandma and grandpa.
Exactly.
And they do deserve the time, but not necessarily the ice cream.
Well, it's true. And then, but the problem is that the next day you feel guilty, you feel awful, you say, why did I eat that? You gain weight, and then you say, oh my goodness, I'm gaining so much weight, I don't know how. But, if you think about it, all you have to do is gain 1 pound a month, and that's 12 pounds a year. And times two, even though I'm not great at math, it's like 24 pounds in 3 years.
Yeah.
So, and then to add stress on top of what you're dealing with, being a caregiver, that you don't need that stress on top of it. So you have to feel the, and it's like an athlete. It's not a sprint. You're in it for the long term, and you have to take care of yourself so you have the energy to take care of others, and that takes an awful lot of energy. I know with my mother, it's true. I sometimes would come home at night and I'd say, you do want to eat the comfort food, and yet, then as I said, it's almost not worth it the way you feel the next day.
Absolutely. Jane, we're going to take just a couple seconds here to thank our sponsors, and then we're going to come back to you and wrap up our conversations because I want to hear a little bit about your radio show as well. Anyway, I'd like to thank our feature sponsor, Peace Hospice and Palliative Care. They're one of the folks who have chosen to become a featured sponsor here on Conversations in Care, and we really appreciate their support. If you're interested in sponsorships at all, feel free to contact Tammy at conversations-incare.com, and she can point you in the right direction and send you some information on sponsorship packages that can really help give your company or your concept some pretty great exposure to our listening audience. And then I also want to also thank other sponsors, Hurricane Marketing, Seniors Blue Book, Private Duty Network, as well as two hidden gems that part of the Hidden Gems program, Culinary Care and the Beats.org. Those are folks that were part of Tammy's Hidden Gems program that continues, and you can get more information on that on the website. So let's hear a little bit of a message from Peace Hospice.
When you or your loved one are diagnosed with a terminal illness, you enter a time in your life that's more challenging than any you've faced. This season of life can be very confusing, frightening, and lonely. You find yourself dealing with strong emotions and may struggle between hope and fear, doubt and faith. At Peace Hospice and Palliative Care, we understand. We're passionate about our calling and help each individual live as fully as possible. Our aim is to be a caring and professional team that provides end-of-life care while preserving your dignity and enhancing the quality of your life. For more information on how Peace Hospice and Palliative Care can help, please call us at 630-649-7630 or visit us at peacehospice.net and start putting your mind at peace. Just like mom is there to make you a bowl of soup when you're sick, Culinary Care is there when you're fighting cancer. The Chicago-based nonprofit organization delivers complimentary meals to ensure individuals fighting cancer don't have to worry about feeding themselves or their family. It's a simple mission with a profound impact. Learn more at culinarycare.org.
Are you a person with diabetes? Do you feel hurt and suffocated by it? Are you scared of your diabetes stealing your dreams? The Beaties Organization will help you find your inner power to turn your story into one of vivid joy, vibrant health, and yes, a sense of ease. And guess what? We use improv too. Find out more at thebeaties.org and we will help you transform your experience because healthcare is a human story.
We're back with Jane Wilkins-Michael, author of Long Live You, and also a health and beauty expert, a former writer for Town & Country magazine as well. And it's great to have her on and lend her expertise about her nine-step program in helping folks live a better life. She also is host of a radio show, and I'd like to ask you about that, Jane, for a few minutes. Tell us about your radio show and what it focuses on and how people can find it.
Well, I heart radio talk, and if you go to my website, janewilkinsmichael.com, you'll see how to find the show. So I do interview experts from basically each of the rungs. We talk about beauty and health and fitness and nutrition and lifestyle, and each show I learn a little bit more too. I think there are so many teachable moments in life that we have to take advantage of. You know, I was listening to the commercial and it really is all about enhancing the quality of our lives. That's what it's all about. You know, making just each day just a little better than it was before. And, you know, that's basically the message, Tony, in Long Live You, is that there'll always be stress in our lives. And just when you think everything is okay, as you know, you're going to be thrown that curveball. or sometimes a change-up, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, sometimes we can't do it. It's just things happen in life that we can't do anything about, you know? So there are things we can't do anything about. However, what we can do something about, what we have control over, are our own thoughts and the way we act toward others. And as we mentioned in the beginning, there are no instant fixes or magic bullets. It's all about moving in small increments from where you are to where you want to be. And it's all about incorporating these very simple habits into your daily routine that you can just try to make every day a little happier, a little more joyful, a little more positive, and a little better than before. And that's sort of the message of Long Live You and the message that I talk about on my show as well.
And it's a great message. And again, you can listen to Jane Wilkins-Michael on her own radio show on iHeart Radio. You can also find her book on Amazon as well. I put a link for that on the Conversations in Care Facebook page. Jane, I want to really thank you for coming on, taking a break from the Rangers game, and coming on to help our listeners live a better life.
I'm hearing a lot of whoops in the other room, so they must have scored something in the meantime, right? My husband is eating pizza. That's between us. Don't say anything to anyone. Let's not tell our listeners that's actually what he's eating. But I will thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be with you tonight, Tony, and give my best to Tammy. And I hope to speak with you again soon.
All right. You sure will. Sure. Thanks, Jane. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Good night.
All right. That was Jane Wilkins-Michael. Again, author of Long Live You. And it's a great book for those who are struggling with incorporating some healthy practices into their life. Jane is really somebody who can help you out with that through her radio show and her book. Again, you can find it on Amazon. Just search Long Live You. It comes right up on Amazon. You can also I think the cost is $16.95, and it's a great buy for a caregiver looking to find little different ways to improve their life on a daily basis. I also wanted to remind all of you that you can interact with the show in several different ways. One is on Twitter, at Care Radio. We weren't live tweeting tonight because it was that's normally my duty as associate producer, but I was unable to do that tonight and manage the soundboard and everything else. But you can interact with the show. Someone's on Twitter every day at Care Radio. Also, you can use the hashtag CIC Live to interact with any of the conversations. You can always call in, and I want to thank caller David for his participation tonight and calling into the show. Also, you can find us on Facebook, Conversations in Care Facebook, and also on our website, conversations-in-care.com. And on conversationsincare.com, there is a lot of great information, some helpful blogs with some tips for caregivers, links to past shows, which are great. We've had some really great guests on this year, and Tammy's going to continue booking those. Also, you know, let's not forget the Fisher Report, our normal. When Tammy's hosting the show, I also host a segment called The Fisher Report where we talk about hot button issues. You can get all of that information on the website and links to all those past shows. I encourage you to go and have a listen on those. You can also access the shows on Stitcher through the phone app, through your iPhone or any of your Android phones. And those can... you know, you can take Conversations in Care with you on the go as well. Again, I'd like to thank our feature sponsor, Peace Hospice and Palliative Care, Culinary Care, TheBeats.org, Seniors Blue Book, Hurricane Marketing, and Private Duty Network. We really appreciate all of your support, and you're one of the reasons why we keep motoring along on the show. The other reason is you, the listeners. I want to thank you very much for allowing me to host Conversations in Care this evening. And I know Tammy would like me to tell you to tune in next week for another great edition where we just continue to strive to give caregivers the resources that they need to help the person they're caring for live a happy and healthy life, and also the caregiver themselves to live a happy and healthy life while caregiving. So in the words of Tammy Newman, thank you for listening to Conversations in Care, and be well.